Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
Welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic. This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Hey, what is up, AOPT Nation? Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. I'm Rick Mulready. Thank you so much for joining me today for episode number 79, where today I've got a Q&A episode where I'm going to be answering your Facebook ads questions. We do these episodes every so often here on the podcast, and I've been getting a lot of questions lately, so we'll get them answered for you today on the show. But before we get into it, I've got a few announcements for you. I want to let you know that I'm getting ready to reopen my flagship program, the FB Advantage, in just a couple of weeks here in early April. It's completely revamped this time around, teaching you exactly how to create an automated system that gets leads and sales every single day with Facebook ads. And included when you join the course this time around is going to be a live two-day event here in sunny San Diego. I'm super psyched to be offering that this time around. So make sure to hop on my email list over at rickmulready.com. to be the first to know when enrollment opens. One quick resource that you might want to grab while you're on the site is my Facebook Ads Pixels cheat sheet. We're going to be talking actually a lot today about Facebook Pixels because I've gotten a lot of questions about it. So over at rickmulready.com/pixels, I've written an epic blog post tutorial called The Complete Guide to Facebook Ads Pixels, all about the Facebook Pixel, tracking conversions, custom conversions. I've got screenshots, videos, all kinds of fun stuff over there. And while you're on that page there, you can download my complete guide to Facebook Ads Pixels cheat sheet. That's a mouthful. Again, that article is over at rickmulready.com/pixels. And when you download that, you'll be also updated, of course, when the course opens here in just a couple weeks, well, depending on when you're listening to that, listening to this episode. Next thing for you, I'm going to be speaking at Social Media Marketing World, which is Social Media Examiner's annual conference here in San Diego in just a few weeks. My talk is Monday morning, April 18th at 10:30 in the morning, and I'm going to be presenting on how to double your ROI with Facebook video ads. I'm really excited to be talking about video ads during that presentation. So if you're going to be at the conference, definitely say hello. I'd love to thank you personally for listening to the podcast here. Lastly, before we get into the Q&A, if you are liking this podcast here, please show your support by leaving a quick, honest rating and review for the show over on iTunes. It's a huge help. And it only takes about 30 seconds to do it. So just go over to iTunes, type in The Art of Paid Traffic, click on ratings and reviews, and you can leave your honest review right there. Thank you so much for doing that in advance. Really appreciate it. All right, my friends, let's jump into the Q&A. And that first question comes from Scott Miller. And Scott asked, should I change over to the new Pixel now, or is it okay to still be using the custom audience Pixel plus the conversion tracking Pixel? Actually, Scott has two questions here. I'll hit the first one first. So should I change over to the new Pixel now, or is it okay to still be using the custom audience Pixel plus the conversion tracking Pixel? In short, yes, it's absolutely okay to continue to be using the custom audience pixel and to track conversions using the conversion tracking pixels. Because as I'm recording this, we're at the sort of middle to late part of March here, and Facebook has come out and said, as I've talked about here in the podcast, that as of the second half of 2016, now they've left that very vague, but at the second half of 2016, that's when the conversion tracking pixels are going to be going away, and you need to be using the new Facebook pixel. So here we are, later part of March, you know, we're still not into the second half of 2016. So yes, it's still okay to be using the custom audience pixel and conversion tracking pixels. Now, here's the deal. The latest, what I've been seeing happening with the new Facebook pixel. So if you remember, we've been talking about, I think it's on episode number 66, if my memory serves me right, we talked all about the new pixel. With the new Facebook pixel, I've been seeing a lot of issues from a tracking perspective. So when you are inserting the standard event code on your conversion pages, I've been seeing a lot of discrepancies, not only in my own campaigns, but also I've been talking to a lot of people, a lot of my students. They've been having issues as well. We've reached out to Facebook to talk to them directly about it. And, you know, they kind of just say, well, they do want us using the new pixel because they're moving their support over to the new pixel and away from, the conversion tracking pixels. So we don't really know what the deal is right now with why there's so many discrepancies with the new pixel and adding in that standard event code. I do have some students who are having no problems with it, but I do have a lot of people, and I've been talking to a lot of people lately who are seeing some issues. So what I'm personally doing right now is for the next little while, I'm going back to using conversion tracking pixels just to make sure that Facebook is, you know, working these bugs out. And then, yes, I will, of course, be moving over to the Facebook, the new Facebook pixel and adding the standard event code in there. So kind of a long-winded answer there, Scott. You don't have to change over immediately. I personally would absolutely get ready for it, but also be aware that Facebook is working some bugs out there. The second question from Scott says, what are my thoughts on Quaya? And is it something I should be investing in addition to Perfect Audience, in addition to Facebook ads? I love this question because this is more of an advanced question. So first of all, Quaya is a third-party tool that allows you to manage your Facebook ads and track your Facebook ads. It's much like Ad Espresso. Now, Scott, I've never used Quaya before. I've heard good things about it, but I've also heard not so great things about it. I've heard sort of both sides of the fence on it when it comes to Quaya. Now, my question for you, and of course, I'm not able to ask you this directly, is why are you looking to use, you know, a third-party tool instead of Power Editor? We run a lot of ads through Power Editor and don't have any issues with it. I mean, yeah, it's buggy, but we don't have any issues with it, that meaning like we can't do certain things in there. So, you know, a third-party tool like Quaya or Ad Espresso, that's really for if you're doing super, super high volume. They do make it easy to split test things. I will say that it's a pretty cool tool. Well, those third-party tools do make it very easy to split test. So, I wouldn't say no, don't do it. I wouldn't say yes, go do it. It really depends on what your needs are. So I have heard good things. Also, I have heard some challenges, with it. Now, you said in addition to Perfect Audience, for those of you guys who don't know what Perfect Audience is, that is a retargeting tool, that another platform that allows you to place the Perfect Audience pixel on your website, much like you would for Facebook ads, but then you can retarget across the internet, like Google's Display Network and so forth, in addition to Facebook. So if you're looking to do banner retargeting and that sort of thing, Perfect Audience or AdRoll are great tools for that. So yeah, I definitely recommend checking those out if you really want to get ninja with this stuff, which I love that you're doing here, Scott. So is it something that you should be investing in addition to Perfect Audience, in addition to Facebook ads? Well, it's hard to say. It really depends on what your, you know, what your needs are and what you're trying to accomplish. I think it's a great thing if you are combining like a Perfect Audience or AdRoll with your Facebook ads. Absolutely, I think it's a good thing. When it comes down to using like a Quaya or Ad Espresso, it really comes down to what your needs are and what you're trying to accomplish. So good question, Scott. Thanks so much for writing that in. And let's see, the next question is from Jonathan. And he says, all of my marketing pages are on my WordPress blog. They use OptimizePress. So he's adding the pixel code to the header of every page and post using OptimizePress. But the issue is, how would I add the event code to my Facebook pixel, say to track leads after somebody opts in, when my pixel is already on every page? Because isn't the event code placed within the pixel? Thank you so much in advance. Yeah, Jonathan, this is a great question. So you've placed the new Facebook pixel on every page. The only thing that you need to do now to track conversions is you want to grab the appropriate standard event code, whether it's like a registration or opt-in or lead or whatever it is that you're doing. Grab that specific piece of standard event code and put it into the Facebook pixel on the specific opt-in thank you page. So whatever page marks that conversion on your website, it's that page that you want to add the standard event code in. It doesn't go, even though you've placed the base Facebook pixel there, that's great because that's what's allowing you to build those retargeting audiences and so forth. But on the conversion page, on the thank you page, that is the page where you want to add the appropriate standard event code. Okay. And by the way, I mentioned this at the intro of the episode here. Over on the complete guide to Facebook Ads Pixels tutorial article that I wrote on my site, I take you through what that chart is of the standard event code. So if you want to check that out, rickmulready.com/pixels will take you right there. Good question there, Jonathan. All right, we're rolling along here. All right, Peter writes in. He says, "Hey, Rick, hope all is well. I've been hearing about people getting really great results with video ads on Facebook. So this past weekend, I edited down our video to be short and Facebook friendly. Here's the result." And he sent me the link to the video. "We then created a website conversions ad using the video in the creative. We split test the ad sets to mobile and desktop to see if there was a difference in performance." I love that, the fact that you did that. Peter, good job. "You used lookalike audience, lookalikes against past customers." Awesome. "With some minor demographic layering on top of the lookalikes." Perfect. I love it. I love it, Peter. "I believe the video should perform well, given that we made it easy to, quote unquote, get it within the first 30 seconds or so, and it doesn't rely on audio. But the CPC we are seeing is really not that great, and I'm wondering what the reason could be. The CPC is around $1.50, when normally we see between 50 cents and $1 for regular image ads. Any idea what could be holding us back? We've also seen our CPC going up overall over the past couple of weeks, but it's particularly bad with the new video ad. Any ideas would be welcome." Well, Peter, it is hard for me to say because I'm not actually seeing the video. One thing I would look at, I would go into your Facebook reporting and look in the video section and look at the average duration that people are watching of the video and break that down into a percentage and also the second. So that's the first thing I would look at. I would also look at what your relevance score is for the video ad, because remember, the relevance score is on a scale of 1 to 10. The closer you are to 10, the better performing ad that you're going to have and the lower cost that you're going to have. If you're in that sort of 1 to 4 range, that's low, and so you're going to have higher costs there. My next bit of feedback here, the way to answer this is, why are you looking at CPC when your goal is website conversions? This really, I talk a lot about this, is don't overcomplicate the performance stats. So, because when it comes to reporting, we should be looking at first and foremost, what is the primary stat based on the objective that we're trying to do? So in this case here, you said that you created a website conversions ad. So the stat that you need to be looking at is, what is your cost per lead? Because that's what you base the objective on. What is your cost per lead? How many leads have you gotten? And then how much money have you spent? But you said you had an issue with the cost per click. Now that's the first thing I would look at. So if you're more concerned about the cost per click, then I would be trying out a clicks to website objective. All right. That's my primary answer there. Now, to kind of wax some poetic here on the on why we could possibly, seeing higher costs here, it really comes down to, what is that relevance score? Because if the relevance score is low, then there's a disconnect between the targeting audience and the video. And really, what's going to also help us with that is when we're looking at the stats there. What's the average percent duration that people are watching of the video? That's really going to tell us a lot, because maybe the call to action isn't super strong. I don't know. I haven't seen the video, but that's how I would be approaching, you know, kind of troubleshooting, if you will, this video ad that you're talking about. So good question here, Peter. I'm going to take a quick drink of my bulletproof coffee. All right, we're rolling here. I love questions like this. Like all these questions, I mean, I don't mean the one specifically. All right, Valerie writes in, under interest, when targeting both a relationship status and a life event, does Facebook show your ads to people who meet either criteria or only those who meet both criteria? So, for example, just the real life example that she says, we target engaged people and historically have done that by choosing engaged under the relationship status area. This time we did that, but also chose engaged 1 month, engaged 3 months, and engaged 6 months, all found under the life events area. Is Facebook showing the ad to people meeting any of these criteria, for example, engaged for any duration of time, or only to those people who are engaged 1 month, engaged 3 months, engaged 6 months, for example? She wants to know, has she mistakenly pared down her targeting for the purpose of this particular ad? The duration of their engagement doesn't matter, so she'd prefer a wider net of all engaged people within the geography that she is targeting. Thanks for your help, Valerie. Great question here, Valerie. So Facebook has since rolled, brought out the detailed targeting. So this has kind of taken a place of they called it, you know, the interest targeting. So you can do interest targeting and behavior targeting and all those life events and so forth in your detailed targeting section now. Normally, when you were choosing the life events under the life events section, you were targeting all of those people. If you were doing this under the interest section, it was or. So you would target, you know, people who are engaged for 1 month or people who are engaged for 3 months. Under the detailed targeting in the first section there, you can type in like engaged for 3 months or engaged, that sort of thing. And you'll see all the options there. There's also now a link. So what I recommend that you do, there's also now a link that says narrow your audience. And what the narrow your audience thing can allow you to do is add an and in there. So for example, in the first field, you would put I'm kind of thinking out loud here as I'm answering this. What the and thing is, you would say maybe they're engaged for 3 months and interested in something else. I don't know, Brides magazine or whatever it might be. But if you want to hit all of those, so one engage 1 month, engage 3 months, I would put it as an or, so that you are not saying, because you wouldn't say engage for 1 month, engage for 3 months, and engage for 6 months. That doesn't really make much sense. But you want or, because you just said that you preferred a wider net. So I would have those all under the first field of the detailed targeting section. You can put all those right in there. And then it would be you're hitting people who are engaged for 1 month or engaged for 3 months or engaged for 6 months, and you'd hit all of those people. Guys, if you haven't checked out the detailed targeting section there, it's really, really great, because now you can do and you can also exclude audiences. So for example, I don't know, I'm off the top of my head, you could say I'm interested in Social Media Examiner and Inc. magazine, but exclude the people who are interested in Entrepreneur Magazine, something like that. Pretty cool stuff. You can get really, really targeted now. All right, moving along. We got two more questions to hit here. Hashmatula says, I'm freaking loving your webinar series. So much awesome info. I'm excited for the next episodes. Quick question, if you don't mind. Would selling a streaming workshop through Facebook ads be effective? What I mean is, instead of sending them to a webinar registration page or content page, then the webinar, then selling your product on the webinar, you ask them to purchase the streaming workshop because it's full of great content right from the Facebook ad. Would that work or not? Hashmatula, this is a great question. And I get that would that work or not question a lot. And it really, I have no idea. Meaning like it could work and maybe it doesn't work. It all depends on a lot of different factors here. However, if you're running an ad to cold traffic, meaning people who don't necessarily know who you are, and you're trying to get them to purchase something right off the bat, that's pretty hard to do because they don't know who you are. And, you know, for someone to take out their credit card and give you their money when they don't even know who you are, that's kind of a big task. That's a hard thing to accomplish. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's a hard thing to do. If it's warmer traffic, it's people who are on maybe your email list or people who are have visited your website and you're retargeting those people. Yeah, depending on what the price of your of the streaming workshop is, you could try that out. I like what you're doing here, but just I would say if you're gonna test this out, test it to warm traffic. Okay, I think it's gonna be difficult for you to do for cold traffic, but again, not impossible. And it depends on a lot of different things here, like the price and the specific targeting and the offer and all that type of stuff. But if you're gonna test this out, I would test this to warm traffic first. All right, here, last question. We've been going for a little while here. I love these questions, great questions. Carol says, hey, Rick, I've tried Facebook ads a few times with little success. Last week, I decided to go big, in quotes, and try a video ad. It's a short video, about 30 seconds, with no words, just video animation and a quick summary on slides at the end, plus a call to action. I'm still tweaking on the targeting, so I might have challenges there. Two, so far after a week, I have no conversions. It's okay though. To me, I'm still experimenting, so I didn't expect a jackpot right from the start. I love that mindset, Carol. It also helps establishing a baseline to go from, yes. However, I see many other stats about the video, and although I don't have any conversions, maybe the stats can tell me something about the video or the targeting so that I can tweak further. But I have no idea what's good or bad or expected or definitely out of the norm, in quotations. For example, 30% of the impressions are viewed for more than 10 seconds. 10% have viewed 50% of the video. 4% viewed to its completion. And there are more stats. So what do these stats say? Is 10% good or bad? Is it average or not very good? Does it mean that the ad is still doing something despite no conversions, or should the conversion be the only meaningful metric and the rest is vanity? Thanks for pointing me in the right direction, says Carol. This is such a great question. I'm so glad, Carol, that even if you're just starting out here, you are actually looking at the reporting stats and the metrics that Facebook gives us and using these stats to try to make some decisions about your ad, which is exactly what you need to be doing. I love it. My first question, Carol, is what is the objective that you are using for this ad? Because if you said that you didn't have any conversions, so I'm assuming that your goal is conversions, I'd want to make sure that you're using the website conversions objective for this ad and not video views. Because again, whenever we're choosing our objective based on whatever we want from Facebook. So if we want conversions, even though we're using a video, we want to be using website conversions. If we want to get traffic to our website, clicks to website. If we want people just to simply watch our video and we don't really care about a whole lot else, then video views is the objective. So that's the first question. I'd want to make sure that you're using website objectives, using the objective website conversions as your objective for this. Now, with it 30 seconds, with no words but just video, and 30% of the people are viewing it for more than 10 seconds. Well, my question, but 10% viewed half or more, that's pretty low at 10%. And granted, I don't know how much money you spent on this, meaning I don't know how many, what your reach was on this or anything like that. I also don't know where your call to action was. So if the call to action is at the very end and only 10% of the people are viewing 50% of the video, lots of percents here, then, you know, not many people are, 90% of the people are not even getting to the call to action. So that wouldn't surprise me that, you know, you haven't had any conversions there. So these stats are telling you that there's a disconnect between people are watching the video and the targeting audience. I would encourage you to look at your relevance score at the ads level to see what that is. Again, it's on a 1 to 10 scale, higher the better. So if it's a low relevance score, which I'm guessing it is, then I recommend changing things up. Maybe, what Facebook likes, meaning the people on Facebook when it comes to video, is if you can, I know that a lot, this is hard for a lot of people, including myself, getting in front of the camera first. And then if you don't want to stay in front of the camera the whole time for the video ad, at least start off in front of the video or instead in front of the camera and then shift over to the slides. You know, people remember the mindset of people on Facebook, why they're there in the first place. It's a very personal It's a very personal platform, and people are, you know, sharing with their friends and family and stuff like that. So getting in front of and letting people to see you on video is very, very helpful when it comes to video ads. I'm not saying it's the end all be all, because, you know, slide type video ads can work extremely well as well. But, you know, that could be something that you might want to try out. So yeah, I'm basically, Carol, from the stats I'm looking at here, I would recommend, number one, looking at your relevance score, seeing what that relevance score is, making sure that you're using the objective website conversions. And then you want to be changing things up here a little bit with the video, because not many people are watching a whole lot of the video. So that either comes down to sort of alignment with the video and the targeting audience that you have, and that the relevance score is going to help you figure that out. And then also, you know, look at what the content of the video itself is. So, all right, guys, that is all of the questions that we're going to cover today. We've been going for a little while here. Actually, we went for, I get into this stuff. So I go a little bit long-winded on these answers because I love the Q&A episodes. Coming up on the podcast, we're going to get back into some more case studies where a holistic health practitioner named Becky Malden is going to join me. Becky spent about $3,000 on Facebook ads over a six-month time period where she was promoting her certification program. And of that, or from that $3,000, she made $30,000 in sales. And in the next episode, we're going to break it all down for you, everything that she did to 10x her ad spend. A lot of fun coming your way here in the Art of Paid Traffic. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.